Dude, he's a toad. Holy smokes, dude.
Welcome back to the Midwest Hinds Hunt Podcast. I am your host, Braden Tolles. Thanks for tuning in. I can't believe I'm living my dream. Early morning flights, the skies are filled up with these whistling wings. Sights that dreams are made of. Look at God's creation. Dust coming in as we struggle to load. Kid number two is a hell of a load. Shots going off like they dropping the hole. It's so cold and my call keeps digging. I'm being precise with the notes I'm picking. My lead is true, so no duck I'm missing. Full choke, so I'm good at a distance. All right, welcome back to the Midwest Hinds Hunt Podcast. I'm your host, Braden Tolles. In the studio with me,
Colton Wallison.
Dude, we're back.
Good to be back.
Kinda. I mean, we're back. We've been back for a bit. I just do not know how to edit and drop episodes. Honestly, like I was saying earlier, dude, it is so easy just to hit the record button because you just sit here talking, shoot the breeze, and plugging them in. Getting them uploaded, editing them, pushing them out, it takes time.
Oh, yeah.
And time has not been my friend lately. What about you?
No, same thing. This is our busy time and trying to get all the work in I can for hunting season.
Yep. Dude, that's like everyone I talk to. It's like, what are you doing? Working. What are you doing? Working. What are you doing? Getting ready for hunting season. It's like, yep, fucking no time for nothing.
Nope.
But it's part of it.
Yeah. Trying to have a little fun this summer, but, you know.
Dude. I've turned down so many lake trips, it ain't even funny. I'm like, man, and I'm working 6 out of 7 days a week. Last thing I want to do is go sit on the boat and sweat my ass off even more. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. If I'm going to sweat my ass off, it better be working out in the garage or running or shooting my bow, not on the lake.
Yeah.
That's just me. Everybody else might have a different opinion, but, you know, fuck them. Okay. Dude, it's been a bit since you've been on here.
It's been a minute. I've been out of town working quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked on the side, but we haven't got it on the air. So I think it's only makes sense to go back to the Texas trip.
The Texas trip. That was fun.
Let's jump in there. And you know what? I'll let you take it.
Okay.
So break it down. Give them, I don't know, why you wanted the tag, how you got the tag, what everything you did. Like, do it from the beginning.
Sure. So this goes back to last spring. I was sitting there scrolling through Instagram before I went to bed, and I saw these, always wanted to go on a sheep hunt. Well, then I first got introduced to, saw a picture of an Audette and watched a couple videos of it, and people kept talking about that's a poor man sheep hunt. And I was like, well, so I started looking at it. It looks really fun. And a lot of it on the Audettes are an exotic animal that brought over. A lot of them are high fence. And I was like, no, I want to experience like the true sheep hunt. Because my grandpa always said when I was growing up, he was a sheep hunter. But he goes, you're either going to, the first time you go sheep hunting, you'll either, that's all you'll ever want to do, or you'll never want to do it again.
Right.
And so let's start looking it up.
I bet the tags were a lot cheaper back then too.
Yes, they were a lot. they weren't paying, you know.
When you said that, I actually was looking into it. I don't know. It was probably a month ago, and there's a outfitter down in Mexico, I think is where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like looking at it. It came across Instagram, and I was checking all these photos. I went to their page, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna look at this for why not?
Mm-hmm.
I might be wrong. I might not remember right, but I'm pretty sure they were charging 60 fucking grand.
Yeah. 60 grand for a desert bighorn.
60 grand.
60 grand.
Dude, that is more than people make in a year. And that's, there's, you know, and I was like, okay, that's steep. I'm like, let me look at the mule deer tag because they were shooting some big muleys down there too. I'm like, that'd be fun. That'd be a cool little thing to do. It was either, don't quote me, it was either 15 or it was 30, and I want to say it was 30. I want to say it wasn't 15, and I'm just like, man, the thing about hunting, it is not a fucking poor man's game. I mean, it can be.
It can be, yes.
It can be if you're staying in your state and it's, you know, whitetails. I mean, if you get, I don't know, if you live in those western states, great, but if you're, like, from the Midwest with us, it's like you're kind of locked in with turkeys and whitetails.
And there's still some hunts you can do for relatively, I mean, everything's relative.
I'll say to each his own. I'll say to each his own because, you know, I don't know. And we're getting off topic already, but deep diving into that a bit, it pisses me off, man, when you see guys like, and I guarantee you it's happened on this podcast, like with you, like you do these trips more, I'd say more than I have, you know what I mean? Like these cool hunts. And I guarantee you some little cocksuckers out there listening, he's like, oh, must be nice. I'm like, dude, you don't know guy's situation. You know how hard people work, you know? Yeah. And it's like, I hate it how if you do any sort of like out of the normal thing and you're like successful at it, there's haters.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's like that even with just whitetails here in general. Like that Kansas Facebook page, I've talked about this before too. Someone will get on there, and I'm actually in a couple of Colorado ones too for like elk and mule deer. Mm-hmm. And some guy will ask just like the simplest fucking question. He just doesn't know, probably couldn't find the answer exactly what he was looking for online. And then some jackass just gets on there and just rips him one. And I'm like, this is why I hate this stuff. This is why I left the Kansas whitetail page. I'm like, this is stupid. I'm like, someone just wants to talk whitetails and someone just has to be a jackass. And but I don't know. I'm getting off topic. Go ahead.
No, you're good. So found the outfitter I wanted to go to, talked to a couple people, and he said these were free range, deal. Basically the pay was, it was a low fence private ranch down there in the Chinati Mountains. And so it's private ground, but he said up top is all, it's landlocked for public ground. And so basically we were on a private ranch, low fence, then everything up top was public.
Low fence meaning they can get over, I don't know how these things work. Yeah, can they get over that fence easily?
Yes, it's like a normal, like our cattle fence. Mm-hmm. Like they can jump it, whatever.
Okay.
And so we get up there and he basically describes it. He says, I guided, my guide, shout out Steven, phenomenal guide, one of the best ones I've ever had.
Shout out Steven.
Yeah. You're
probably never going to hear this, but shout out to Steven.
But, so we get up there and he's like, hey, I've guided in the Northwest Territories for 10 years since I got out of high school. He goes, this is almost identical to the sheep hunts we guided up there. The only difference is we're at 5,500 foot and up there we're at 10,000 plus. He said, that's the only difference. And the terrain's just as rough.
Big difference.
Yep, big difference. But he's like, we're in the mountains. We're still in the mountains. Everything. So
you can breathe here. Up there, you're going to have fucking trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to have to get used to that one for a few days.
Yep. So we got into camp and it's on the Mexico border. We drove that border wall road and went on the ranch, onto the ranch and everything. Really neat. It was one of them ranches that takes about 45 minutes to drive across. And so we're going across and stay the night at the lodge or the old bunkhouse, they call it. Before we went up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll get on the camp. We're ready to go.
I got to cut you. A couple questions. Cut you. How far, what's the drive for you? What was it?
18 hours.
Okay. What's the temperatures down there?
It was in the 40s at night and then 70s in the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to paint a picture in my own head.
Sure. So this is the first week of March. I didn't say that. So this first week of March, we get down there. And my first thought was, well, first off, I didn't know, I knew Texas had hill country.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Texas had mountains. And if we got any Texas listeners, they're going to be laughing right now. Cause I start looking at these things and I'm like, man, we're getting closer. And this thing isn't getting that much taller. I was like, this is a steep mountain. And so anyways, the next morning we wake up, we're glassing, just right there from the bunkhouse to make sure we don't, you know.
And what's the tag?
It's their name.
You might have already said it, but I might have forgot. What tag do you got?
This is just a Texas exotic hunting license
because
they're invasive. So there's no like you could choose many of them as you want.
Yeah, weapon of choice.
Rifle. I brought a rifle.
Are the seasons the same?
Yes,
bow.
365.
Doesn't matter if it's a bow or rifle. You'll both be there.
Nope. And they have their main rut. I was told is in the fall, but they just like everything else, but. They have a secondary rut in the spring, and I couldn't make the fall hunt happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I went in the spring.
Sure.
and it's kind of interesting because he told me so we get out of the bunkhouse and we get back in his truck to drive to the base of the mountain.
And what's the bunkhouse? I just want to know what are you talking about?
So imagine this was I was telling him off screen, this was the coolest experience I've ever had. This was like an adobe style, like on all the spaghetti westerns that are in the desert.
Yeah.
Those old white, I don't know if adobe is probably not the right word, but like look like
clay. I know. Like, I can picture what you're saying. I can't describe it either.
Yeah, exactly. So like it's that white bunkhouse. And mm-hmm. what was the coolest part was this ranch had been in their family for 100 years, mm-hmm. 120 years. They kept a journal. Like the owners That's of this cool. ranch kept a journal. So I was flipping through the journal and looking at hunting or reading hunting stories or ranching stories from the 70s. And it was so cool to just the history of it.
Yeah, like had some culture to it.
Yeah. And like old, you walk in, old breezeway, like because there's no AC.
Is it like, so it's not renovated? No. No AC?
No.
But what are you sleeping on?
They had beds.
Beds, okay,
yep.
Okay.
Yep, they had beds. And so, but it looked like no one had lived there full time for 50 years.
Yeah.
But they kept it up. They go. Somebody's there checking on the sheep.
I got you.
Every couple weeks.
I don't want to spoil it. You might say it later. But are there any like red flags down there? Like anything you got to be careful of if it's like border stuff, or is it anything what am I trying to say? Is it anything like snakes you got to watch for, or yes. scorpions or spiders? Like what?
So there's a lot of scorpions. Okay. And there are rattlesnakes.
Okay.
We didn't see any rattlesnakes. Saw a lot of scorpions. Mm-hmm. But I mean it wasn't that big of a deal.
Right.
I had more issues with the cactus than I did.
they bit you a few more times.
The cactus bit me a few more times. But so we're interesting, and he's telling me the history of the area. And he goes, this trail that we're taking up is the only trail through the Chinati Mountains. He said the only way to get from Mexico to, I'll call it west, far west Texas, over the mountains is through this pass. And he goes, so back then, he's like, when we go up there, you'll see a lot of we stay at an old Indian hunting camp. And so, I'll get to it here in a little bit, but basically, you'll see Indian artifacts. He goes, the trail that's cut into the mountain that we're going to be hiking up is like the Indians' old trail, the Comanche Indians' old trail. And so it was so cool.
It's just kind of cool to walk the same, you stepped where mm-hmm. someone did, long time ago.
Yeah, 500 years ago.
Yeah, something crazy like that. Yep. And it's you're walking in their footsteps, literally.
Yeah. So, and it gets even cooler with the Indian artifact stuff.
Okay.
So we hop in the truck that next morning. We're glassing as we're going up. Just make sure there's not a giant by camp and we're not, go hike up. Right. And there's a giant right by
camp. Go 12 miles back and there's one right there 600 yards down the trail. Yeah.
Exactly. So we get all the way, we drive, it's probably half a mile up to the base of the mountain. And this is when we're driving into this canyon, and I'm looking
up. And you're on a trail, is it rough? Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Four-wheel drive, pickup rough, and we're.
Okay.
And it's,
it's dry down here? Is it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We're very, very dry. They have basically dry season, then got flood season. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no in-between. And where it might rain every day for 60 days.
Damn.
And so we're four-wheeling up this thing, and it's all rock. There's no dirt down there, which blew my mind. There's no dirt.
Wait, you're on the back of a four-wheeler?
No, we're on a four-wheeler trail. We're in a pickup.
Oh, okay, okay. You're still in a truck.
Yep, so we're in a truck. We park the truck, and basically we get out. We're glassing, and then all of us, and he told me, he's like, you will see a lot of all that. Like, we're going to see a lot of sheep. Within the first hour, we hadn't even got out of the truck, and we saw 600 all that.
Damn.
And it was mainly used in a lot of young rams.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, the reason people come here.
Describe that too, whenever you can. Give me your buck, your doe.
Yeah. So the does are considered, are called ewes.
Okay.
Rams are called, the bucks are called rams.
Yep.
And he goes, the reason people come with me, and he charges a little bit more than I would say the average.
Above average.
Above average price. But he goes, are the rams or other outfitters rams that they kill,
mm-hmm.
we won't even shoot. Like, we'll pass them. And so he's like, if you're looking for a big audad, we've got them. And so their ranch average, and for any of the sheep hunters out there, their ranch average is 33. And that is a big audad.
What's average? Like, what do you think?
A 30 inch audad is considered good.
Put it in whitetail terms. What's a
30 inch whitetail would be 150 inch buck. 30 inch would be 150-inch buck.
Okay, and a 33 is probably
33 would be 70s, 80s.
Damn.
Like, it just takes them so much longer to get that big mass.
Yeah, so, something to be said about them.
Yep, and I learned a bunch glassing him, because he's a sheep guide. He mm-hmm. loves hunting sheep. And so the guide was giving me so much information. He's telling me, he's like, you know, that one right there, we were glassing before we even got out of the truck. He's like, that's a 32-inch ram. But that's...
He could tell.
He could tell.
Just
doing it so long. He's like, that's a 33-inch ram. He goes, or 32-inch ram, but he goes, that's not what we're looking for, because it's a young 32. It was real, he had skinnier. He didn't have the thickness to the horns.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, you can look at the bases. His bases still have ridges on them, and they don't have, he hasn't worn them off from fighting.
Is it safe to say that ram would have got shot on another ranch?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
If he wouldn't have been there, I probably would have killed him. I mean, I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's because I was.
Well, I'm saying, like, you know, those other, like, you're saying, like, he charges it a bit more, but you're getting a chance at a much
yes.
bigger ram. I bet that ram would have got shot on yep. another outfitter's.
Yep. Because his personal best is 35 and a half, and the ranch record's 36.
What's a 36? Is that 200 inch?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 200 inch.
200 inch whitetail?
Yeah. Damn. Even 34. Some people say 34, you know, but big odd ad. Yeah. And so we're going up, seeing it, and we're like, you know, it's first morning. Let's not kill a small one. And
how long are you there?
I'm there for 3 days.
That's it. Okay, that's not a long hunt.
No, it's not a long hunt at all.
I mean, I don't know. You'll get that debate, like, yeah, you have a rifle, but the way I see it, I guess, with a rifle, that's a short hunt. With a bow, that's a really short hunt.
Yes. I remember talking with you about it in the beginning. I was going to take my bow.
Mm-hmm.
But he told me, he goes, I can guarantee you a good shot opportunity with a rifle. I can't guarantee you that with a bow.
And we talked about that, too, on the side. Like, I think we were texting about it. You're like, dude, I'm the kind of guy, like, you're not afraid to pick up the rifle. And you're
no,
like,
I'm a hunter.
The more time, yeah. And that's, like, 110% A-okay. Like, I got no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just the way, dude, I'll live and die by the bow.
Yeah.
Like, if you give me, I don't know, give me the craziest hunt you can get, and I'll take a bow, and if your chances are less than 1%, I'd rather take that than a rifle. And that's just me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, everyone's wired different. Everyone has their own way they want to do it, and I'm not hating on that at all. And I think it's cool, like, the way you do it, like, how you say, you're like, I'm just a hunter.
Yeah.
And that's me. You know, the inches, the score, that's a plus. You know, you just like being there. And mm-hmm. I think that's a cool fucking way to look at it. And I don't know. I like the way you do it.
Sure. And so we get out of the truck, and we're hiking up.
Oh,
this.
You're also not a jackass about it, the way you do it either.
Yeah.
So I had to throw that in there. Yeah, I appreciate that.
But anyways, we get up there. So we hiked to camp, and showing you how steep it was, it took us about an hour to get from the truck to camp, from tent camp.
Okay, so truck's parked, and then how far is camp from truck?
It's not very far, like as a crow would fly,
mm-hmm.
but it's straight up a canyon wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took us an hour to hike.
Well, I'm getting somewhere with this, because I know what you're about to say. I'm just trying to picture, what, a mile? Less than a mile. Okay.
It's probably half a mile as a crow flies.
Okay, just keep that in mind for everyone listening.
Yep, and it took us an hour to get to camp to make that half a mile.
Mm-hmm.
It took us 15 minutes to walk down it.
That's
how steep it is.
That's saying something.
Yeah.
And what do you, in the terrain? Right?
Yeah.
Like, go ahead, like, say what you're telling me off mic. Like,
so the terrain is basically anytime it's, picture a very, very steep mountain out in Colorado, New Mexico, whatever. And take away all the dirt and add loose softball-sized gravel. So every time you take a step, you lose 3 inches because your foot slides back.
Yeah.
And there's no flat spots. You're just walking across rocks, and it's not even any flat spots. Like, I shredded a pair of Crispies in 3 days.
Guarantee it, yeah. Dude. Oh, I guarantee it.
And they're great
it.
Boots. They're great boots, but it's just shredded. Everything's sharp.
I'm sure a pair of pants got lost in this freaking hunt too, I bet.
Yep. My favorite 206s got shredded.
Those were the, were those the Stone Glacier mm-hmm. ones?
The lightweight yeah. Stone Glacier. They got shredded.
Well, and that's the thing too. Like, it's like, okay, you want to pack, you know, the temperatures and like, yeah, it's not crazy hot, but you're going to be doing a lot of hiking, which mm-hmm. you get hot. So you don't want to take something that's more like, I don't know, heavy duty, a little thicker mm-hmm. because you're just going to sweat your ass off and you're probably still going to shred them.
Yeah.
So you might as well go with the lightweight option to where you're comfortable. You know, you're not just sweating your ass off constantly and you're going to shred them either way.
Yeah.
You kind of just got to go into it knowing, yep, these pants are done after this.
Yeah.
Turn them into shorts.
And our packs were about, I didn't weigh it, but it was pretty close to my elk pack, my 10-day elk pack, like 65, 70 pounds.
Damn.
Yeah. Because there's no water up there. So we carried water, yeah, food,
dude, water everything. Is water's so heavy.
And we knew it was going to be hot. So I had a full gallon. I had 3 gallons of water with me.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Because I was just thinking about my pack, what yep. it weighed for Colorado last year. And, dude, I want to say I was like mid, honestly, like low 30s. And I was, it's roughing it, you know. Yeah. It's definitely not the pack where you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be comfortable. You're not fucking comfortable no. with a 30-pound pack for 10 days in Colorado.
No.
And, but what you said there, dude, water is fucking heavy.
Yeah.
You don't know how heavy water is until you're like, oh, my God.
So you got, isn't it 8 pounds per gallon?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you had 3 gallons, that's, if it is 8 pounds, that's 24 pounds of just
in water.
Water.
And we had
throw that on top of whatever the hell you have in your pack for this kind of hunt. Mm-hmm. It's like, and I mean, it does help that it's only 3 days, but it's still a lot of fucking weight.
Yeah. I mean, I got my sleeping bag, sleeping roll, my tent.
Did you take rain gear?
Yes.
You did.
I take rain gear no matter what.
Do you do pants and a jacket or mm-hmm. just, do you really? Dude, I can't.
The M5s are so light now,
What the fuck is an M5?
That's Stone Glacier, the lightweight.
No, I don't got none of that stuff. I got their pack, man. Come on. But I don't know. When it comes to rain gear, like, dude, jacket, I'm 110% on. And honestly, what I do, you might do it different. I order my jacket, like, one size bigger.
I do, too.
Because, well, usually you don't want to shed in clothing. You throw it on over. And I'm not a big dude. Like, I'm, like, maybe 6 foot, and I weigh like 173 pounds. I can kind of like tuck into that jacket
mm-hmm.
and like keep my bottom half dry. That's why I don't take the pants.
Sure.
And I just think the pants are loud as fuck.
They are.
And I know like Sitka does like a different like layering system. You know, it's like one layer, two, three, and obviously the more layers, the louder it's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But the drier you're going to be, I don't know. I just say screw it, save the money, and that's sure. just me. That's just me. But I was wondering if you did take the rain gear because I'm like, well, you never know.
You never know.
And you'd rather have it
yep.
than not have it.
Yep. And so we get to camp and we're glassing and we get to camp and he's like, this is the old Indian camp. And I noticed the first, and I'll show you pictures of it. We have I see a concrete dam up in the mountains. And I'm like,
how tall is this? What do you mean?
Like,
break it down. I don't know what you mean.
Okay, so they're basically, I see the only grass up there is in this little low spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, that's grass. It must be you have water there sometime. It's kind of a divot, like a low spot. And there's a concrete.
That green grass?
The green grass.
Okay.
And there's a concrete dam that they built that's about at the lowest point. It's probably 6.5 foot tall.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of basically blocks water. And I asked him about it. He said, well, back in the day, he said, this is the only low spot when all the water comes off from the mountains. The settlers, and it was carved in there in 1936, where the ranchers, I don't know, horseback mules brought up concrete bags and
built the damn thing.
Yeah, built the damn thing to help to hold water for their sheep because it's not good enough ground to run cattle. It's like
the water would pool up, you're saying?
Yes,
like, okay,
to pool the water
up. I get it now.
And so that's basically where we put our tent.
Because at the lowest point, you're six and a half feet tall.
Yeah.
I got you. I got it.
Yep. And so we get to I see this rock with a big outcropping and it's like black from all the fires and stuff. And I was like, oh, is that where that's where he kind of stored stuff over the years mm-hmm. for like, you know, extra camp chairs and whatnot.
Sure.
And he's like, go up, climb up on top of that. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, whatever. Climb up on top of that. And you know, if you go to a Mexican restaurant right now, the molcajete dish where it comes out in that real thick.
I just spit that out. The what?
Molcajete. It's molcajete. It's what basically it's that grinding bowl. that they make, like the stone cast grinding bowl.
Okay, why couldn't you just fucking said that?
The term that they...
He started speaking Spanish.
Yeah. So anyways, there's seven of them naturally dug into this rock. So he goes, this is where the Comanche hunters would hunt back in the day. And this was their camp. And he goes, all these, it would collect water because there are divots into the rock.
Right.
Collect water. And this is where they would grind up their spices and whatever to make tea, you know, tea out of the cactus. And it was really cool.
Dude, that's so cool. That's dope.
Yeah.
To just, I don't know. You think like, I don't know, people think that we have it hard these days. Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Yeah. I was complaining about like it shredding a pair of boots. They're out there with yucca.
Yeah,
cactus sandals on out there.
Jesus.
And so he goes, hey, we're up there. It's about 10:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We're up there and he goes, hey, the sheep are going to be laying up in the heat. They're going to be in that shade right there. You're probably not going to be able to see them. We're going to glass from camp.
Do they look at this the same way like you and I look at like an elk hunt, like the hottest part of the day, you know, they're going to try to be in the coolest part of the mountain type of, you know, same thing.
Same thing. And if you can picture it, we're basically the whole mountain system, the Chinatis, right where we're at. We're on the western edge of the Chinatis. It comes up to a shelf. The base camp is, we're base camped on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And then half a mile from us, it goes into another vertical wall. And then that's the top, they call it up top. In like the backcountry is up top.
That's their term for it, up top.
Yep, up top. And so we're at base camp, but we can see we're in a 2 mile, the flat we're on, the shelf we're on is a half a mile deep by 2 miles wide. So we can see a ton of country in front of us.
Got some good glassing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
you're on a huge glassing knob.
Yes, yes. So we're on a big flat and we're looking basically, we got the lightweight, you know, luckily he had the lightweight chairs and we're sitting there and we're just glassing.
Scanning.
And I'd learned sheep hunting is 90% glassing. Like 90% glassing.
Well, especially in something like that, like how you said there's no trees. Is that what you said?
No trees. The only thing about 6 foot tall is cactus.
Okay. So like, especially in like terrain like that where there's no cover.
Yeah.
Like. Whatever little bit of shade those rams can find, that's what they're going to be in.
Yep. And so we're looking on this face, and we're spotting them. We see about an hour before the sun goes down, they start coming out again.
Feeding out, or what are they doing?
They're feeding out.
Okay.
So they're feeding out, and they've been laying up. And we're watching them from about a mile and a half is when we start seeing them with the spotter. And so... he's looking at him, and we're seeing ram after ram. Then we see this giant, like, stud. He goes, that's probably a 33, 34.
And I'm assuming he's got a pretty high-dollar spotter on him.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's got he's like, that is an absolute stud. The problem is we don't have rappelling gear. We can't get to him. And I was like, that's par for the course. That's my luck.
Yep.
And he's like, that is an absolute giant. We can't get to him.
Well, it's crazy. You know, you called it the poor man sheep hunt, and, like, you got to think about that on like actual sheep hunts and like goat hunts. Same thing. Like, dude, you can turn up a stud, but
can't get to him.
If you can't get, and honestly, if you can't get to him after you kill him, he's unkillable.
Exactly.
Like, it's not, what are you going to do? Shoot the biggest goat on the mountain and then just leave him in the bottoms? Like, no.
Exactly.
Yeah, no.
So we sat there. We sat there and we see the ram I ended up killing, a bunch of ewes, you know, there's probably a pack of 100 ewes in every draw. We were looking up these drainages, and every drainage has got 100 or 200 packs of ewes in them.
Do they have, I mean, I don't know if like a, you know how like a bull to cow ratio, is there like a ram to ewe ratio?
So up there, it might be 50 to one. It might be, it truly might be 20 to one.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of sheep in this on this ranch. So we were sitting up there and he goes, hey, he goes, I think, and I remember we're looking at a mile and a half, and you know, my SIG binoculars that I have, I can't see a ram at a mile and a half.
Fuck SIG. Get loopholes.
So I was sitting there looking, and he goes, that's a nice ram. And I pulled up my binoculars and I see a tan speck on the mountain. And I'm like, yeah, it looks great. You pull up
the, what are they?
10x42s.
I figured 10x42s, you go, yep.
You know, just, and he was making fun of me because I'm sitting there throwing rocks at like little birds or, you know, throwing rocks at other rocks. And he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I can't see the sheep at a mile, so I'm just taking your word for it. And he goes, okay. And
you've done this long enough. I am taking you at your word, sir.
And that's what I said. And he goes, man, we haven't been seeing, he said, the spring rut's been slow. We haven't been seeing the amount of like great rams we've been seeing.
Right.
He says, we can go up and over the top. He said, it's going to be the better part of a day hike to get up and over to the top.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll leave that in the bank. And he's like, if so, we'll just take our sleeping bags and sleep up there. Just save time. Well,
put that one in the back pocket.
Yes. I was like, yep, we'll put that in the back pocket. And I was like, I'll do it. Like, okay.
Yeah.
But then.
And this is day one. Is this day one?
This is day one.
Okay. So when you, backing up just a tad, and don't want to get lost here. But when you got to the bunkhouse and you slept, was that like when you first got into town? Like,
yes. Okay. That was a night. So that was Sunday night.
You got into town Sunday night, slept in the bunkhouse Sunday night as well.
Monday morning,
you're hunting. So this is day one. Okay, I was just wondering if you were losing a day for travel or anything like that.
Nope, you're right. So day one, we're then about an hour before dark. He goes, that's a good one. And so we end up looking, he's about a mile and a half out. He's in a canyon, and I was like, are we going to make a move on him?
So about the same distance as this back pocket ram?
Yes, but the back pocket ram was on the way left side.
Okay.
And this would have been about a mile and a half to our northeast or other side of him.
Okay.
And so he goes, we can get to that ram. And he's like, but.
That night?
Yeah. Well, and then, but he goes.
When's the sun setting down here, I guess? And what time is it?
So this is March, probably about 6 o'clock.
Is when the sun's starting to go down?
Yep. So
and
it's about,
what time you guys turn this guy up?
It's about 4:45.
Okay.
So he told me, he's like, we can get to him. But we're not going to push him tonight because he's like, we don't know what other ewes are in between to spook him out. Because he's like, I don't want to blow him out of here.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, let's put him to bed. He's like, they don't travel at night. So wherever we put him to bed is where he's going to be in the morning.
That's nice.
Yep.
So did you, I guess you're going to tell me, go ahead. I'm getting ahead of myself.
No, you're good. So we see him and I was like, is he a good one? He's like, listen, he's a good one. He goes, he's heavy. He goes, I'm guessing he's 32 inch. Mm-hmm. He goes, we can do better. But he's like, I haven't seen better this spring. He said, I know we can find him. Or I don't know if he said, I know, but he's like, I'm very confident we can find him. But he goes, that is a very good one.
Well, and it also kind of goes back to what we were just saying. Like, yeah, you might be able to find a better one, but
can you get to him?
Yeah. Can you recover him after you shoot him?
Yep. And so, and I kind of thought to myself, I was like, I don't want to leave a good ram to go, you know, leave a 32 to go find a 33.
Right. It's, yeah, it's.
And they all look big to me because I've never shot an audad before.
Well, and it's kind of the same thing like with elk hunting in terms, it's like, you don't leave elk to find elk.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? I'm like, I'm not going to leave a 300 inch bull.
Unless you're psycho.
To find a 320.
Yeah.
And, or a 310. So,
right.
So we put him to bed, and we kind of make a game plan where it's like.
So did you stay at camp, or did you guys like spike camp out?
We spike camped at the base camp. So when we hiked up to that where that dam was, that's where we set up our tents. And where
did you
we made
did
base
you
camp.
Pack up from there and try to get closer to this guy, or did you just stay a mile and a half?
We
from
stayed
him?
A mile and a half.
Okay,
from.
Put him to bed.
Yeah, put him to bed.
You saw him. Okay.
Yep, and he ended up. We knew what drainage he was in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were basically, we got up, and sheep are nice to hunt because they don't get up early. Sheep get up at about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Damn, sleeping in.
Yeah, they do. And like I was on the spotter or on my binoculars. I wake up at 5:30 every morning anyways. And yes.
Fuck, that's sleeping in.
I know.
Try 2:45. It's fun.
Yep. So I don't, the whole day one, all of day one, he found every sheep and then had to point them out for me. I like to think I'm good on glass. He would be like, hey, you see those rams up by that rock?
Put you to shame, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. And which is, you know, that's what he does
did.
For a living.
I heard that in your voice.
He did. And so I was like, you know what? So I woke up 5:30, and I just got out of the tent, and I was like, well, I'm not going to sleep anyways. So I got up, made a cup of coffee.
I was about to say, any coffee up there on top of that shelf?
Yep. I always bring the coffee. So I made coffee in my jet boil, and I'm sitting there, and guy's still asleep, you know, still asleep. And he said, he told me, he's like, I'm going to wake up at 7:30. He's like, I'm going to get ready. You know, it's already light, way light by that point. He goes, they're going to start getting on their feet at 8 o'clock. And I'll be damned, I glassed from when the first light.
Through the spotter.
What's that?
Through his spotter, right? Not the shitty SIGs, right?
No, so I was on my binoculars, but there was one shelf that had a bunch of ewes on it.
Mm-hmm.
That was at like 500 yards. And so I can see them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got them.
But they're also, they blend in perfectly with the mountains up there. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm glassing this thing for an hour. He rolls out of bed at like 7:45, gets out, stretches, takes one, walks over to me about 40 yards, walks over to me, looks up at a rock. First time he looks up at the rock, he goes, you see them rams right there? I was like, no shit. Pulled up by binoculars, and there's where I've exactly where I've been glassing for an hour. They just stood up. I was like, all right, you got me. Look, I'm just not going to win this one.
No.
And
nope.
So anyways, we're sitting there, we have breakfast, and we're glassing that drainage.
What's breakfast? I'm curious.
I did a protein bar and a peak.
Okay.
Yep. The protein bar and a peak, and we're glassing the drainage we put him to bed at.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, another shout out, he goes, I can see his right horn tip. It's like, what? And so he has it in his, that Olin, he's got an Olin adapter for a spotter. He's videotaping, he points it up to it on his phone screen. He goes, that's an antler.
And guys, that's pretty much just the deal. It connects to your phone. Yep. It connects to the spotter.
Yep.
You can like look at your phone screen instead of like, you know, you all take, the way into the spotter.
You can take just, videos and pictures through your spotting
screen. They're freaking sick.
They are. And so he's showing me, he goes, look, it'll move here in a second. And he moved, and it was that ram bedded down.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts feeding down the mountain, which they're going to feed. They probably came down quarter mile.
So they're still probably, what, you said a mile and a half?
Yeah, they're way
up. Are they
up
above
top.
You?
Yes.
Okay, you're looking up at them.
Yes, so they're...
He's kind of feeding down...
To us.
Your level in your direction.
Yep, so they were basically probably a mile from us distance-wise, and then a half a mile up this drainage, and big, big drainage.
Say that one more time. Mile distance.
Mile distance, half a mile straight above us.
Okay.
And so he's feeding down... And we said, okay, we're going to make a plan on him. I said, I want to kill this one. You say it's a good one. He looks big to me. So we're going to loop. We looped around where we walked about three quarters of a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Looped around, got to a rock. And we were going to, we kept looking for him because we knew there was ewes in between. And we didn't want to blow them out.
Do these rams, do they play the thermals just like elk do?
They do.
Okay. Yep. I figured they did, but I'm always curious. I'm like, man, dude, is it the same rules apply?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they can see way better than a deer or an elk.
Mm-hmm.
They are very, very hard to get close to. And so we get up and over this rise, and then we didn't see them, but at 200 yards, there's a group of ewes, and they see us dead to rights. I mean, they're 200 yards away, and they're staring right at us. Long, long ways away, and they're staring right at us. And so we get back down behind this rock. The ram, the ram was with another bunch of rams, not a group of younger rams. He was at 680 yards, and we got the rangefinder on him. He was at 680, and Steven looks at me and goes, hey, can you make this shot? We're not going to get any closer. If we get any closer,
wait.
These,
this is the ram.
This is the ram.
Okay.
And so we're making the stalk right now, and so we get on the backside of this ridge, like a little rock outcropping, and he goes, "If we get any closer, these ewes are gonna bust, and if they bust, your ram's gone."
Dude, 680 is a poke.
Yep. And so this was 100% my fault, and I'll be the first one to admit it. I'm not hiding anything for the camera. I didn't adjust my ballistic chart for 5,500 feet elevation. I was still adjusted for 900 where we're at,
mm-hmm.
which means the bullet flies faster. It doesn't drop as much the higher you go up in elevation. Air is thinner. Air is thinner. Bullets fly fast. They
less,
don't drop
less
as much.
Effect on the bullet the higher up you are.
Yeah,
what you're saying.
Yes, less drop.
Okay.
So I had him. And I said I shoot long range all the time. I mean, I'm very, very comfortable with my stuff out to 1,000 yards. First round impacts 1,000 yards. And so we get out there, and took me forever to find it in the scope. So I said, I'm going to make the shot. So I lay my backpack down.
What's the gun?
6.5 PRC. For people that don't know what it is, it's a short action 270. So I lay
Glad you said that.
Yep. So
glad you said that. So I was in the dark just like everybody else. Continue.
So he's at 680 and I lay my backpack down. I don't run a bipod on my hunting guns. Just I don't feel like they're needed. Nah. So I lay a backpack down. I get prone behind it. And in the video, it's funny. I laid down on a cactus. I got a cactus right in my crotch. So you can hear in the video of me go, as soon as I laid down because but I was so steady on the gun.
How'd that go again?
Yeah. And I was like, but I didn't want to move because my gun was steady and I was steady. So I'm like, the crosshairs weren't moving in the scope. I dial for 680.
I'm steady, gun steady, cactus in my dick.
Yeah, exactly.
Go.
Yeah, perfect. So I dial for my 680.
Okay.
And he's broadside. Everything's great. I calculate the wind, put my estimated wind hold on him.
Can I guess what happened? Whenever you get to the point, I think I know what the shot did.
Guess what the shot did?
It went over him.
It went 6 inches over his back. Perfect left and right, 6 inches over his back. But I'm running suppressed, and so he didn't know where it came from.
What's the backdrop on him? Is it just...
Is it
hitting rock?
Is it hitting rock?
Okay.
It's hitting rock. But I watched the vapor trail, and immediately when I pulled the trigger and I saw the vapor trail, I go, I didn't adjust for elevation. And then, so
what's a vapor trail?
The vapor trail is when the bullet's going through the air. You can see if you know how to dial your scope up, you can see it better. But when you're shooting at distance, you can see the bullets displacing the air in the...
Can I dumb it down for the listeners?
Yep.
Guys, it kind of looks like if you're watching like the Matrix movies and like you see a bullet go flying and there's like this weird like mirage looking trail like streaking the bullet. That's pretty much what he's talking about.
Yep. So then he moves about... By the time I get back on him, because again, there's 30 rams in this group. There's a lot of rams. He's the biggest one. I don't want to shoot the wrong one. But he's still calm. He's not like freaking out
he knew something was up, but he didn't know what.
No, we were so far away.
Yeah.
So then this was.
And suppressed. Like that's like, you know, you think about it on his end of that. Like, did he hear something come whizzing by? Maybe not. But like, you hear something like, you know, it hits the rock. It could just be like, you know, stumbled, like something slipped, like, you know, rock slid. No big deal. He guarantee you he didn't hear you guys.
No. So he wasn't freaking out. Then he gets, just like in the video, he gets behind what they call three rock, which is giant boulders. I mean, 20-foot tall boulders. He gets behind them, and I was like, range on top of, because he's going to walk behind it. He was following the other ones. Mm-hmm. He was in the back, and I said, range on top. And so we got it, and it was 7:30. So I dial for half a mil under what my 7:30 dial was to account for the elevation. And like I was explaining in the video, the wind picked up a little bit. So I gave my wind call, and the gun doesn't have a whole lot of recoil. Mm-hmm. So as soon as he steps out, he stops. And I send one, and I see it. It hits him in the third from the back rib. So decent shot, but still back,
but not horrible.
Not horrible.
And honestly, like when I was looking at the video, when you were showing me, I bet he probably wouldn't have made it up that mountain.
No.
The second shot, definitely, like, I am all for, you know, if they're still moving, shoot him again. I don't care what it is, you know, so deer, whitetail, elk, doesn't matter.
Shoot them till they fall.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. But what was nice is I was aiming at the front shoulder, and he's quartering away at this point. Mm-hmm. I was aiming a little bit behind the front shoulder, and I see that bullet hit him at the third of the back rib, and I needed two more tenths of wind.
Why was that? Was that
the wind?
That a wind? Was that a you thing?
No, it was all wind. And so then I was like, then I saw his half a mil of wind, and I said, if you stop, because then he kind of bucks and he's not really running real hard. I mean, he's hurting pretty good. I said, if you stop again, I know
he's
I
fucked up.
Yep. I was like, I know your wind. I know the wind call. And then he stopped. And as soon as he, I don't think he got his back foot down before the round was sent.
Yeah, he
in
sent
there.
Another one.
Sent another one. And that center punches him right behind the shoulder, and it blows out his backside front shoulder.
Now he's real fucked.
Yeah, and he's his legs up in the air, and he's just flopping. He made it like 15 yards and fell over. And that was one of the coolest things. One of the coolest hunts I've been on. That
dude, that's a poke. Seven plus.
Yep, yep. Hit him two times in a row at 7:30.
Okay, so ram down. You're probably freaking out a bit.
Yep.
What's the pack out on this thing look like?
Pack out was rough because, again, we're still in that terrain. And you look at the pictures, like, and like even.
So was he still, I guess, was he down or up from you on this?
So
we're pretty level. I don't know.
Well, since we hiked up to him to get to our shooting spot, yep, we're up higher now, too. Okay. And I was like, and I told myself, me being a dumb Kansas person, I was like, looking at it through the binoculars.
Easy.
I was
easy,
like, oh.
Easy. Kansas. No,
yeah.
Man. Hey.
We're flatlanders. So we go. And I'm like, oh, that's just an easy side hill mm-hmm. over to him. And
that's what you thought.
Steven kind of looks at me and goes, yeah. I didn't see all the micro dips and valleys constant. There's no flat spot out in that country. It's just we're trying to side hill across, and it's go down 20, 30 yards. It'd be like climbing down.
You can't see any of that like within the terrain from where you're
at. No. And it reminded me a lot of like Southeast Kansas where all the strip pits are, like mm-hmm. the mine land.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're basically climbing chat piles, coming down chat pile. And so we're going up and down. We finally get to him and he's bigger than I thought. I mean, he's a good room.
Dude, you know, that's going to blow your mind. Like, you know, they can sit there and say, you know, oh, well, let's pass this one. You know, he's young, he's 32, but like, you don't know, you know what I mean? You're just going off of their words, and especially never holding one, you know, let alone seeing them for the first time. Like, it's going to blow your mind either way.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Without a doubt, you're going to be blown from it.
Yeah. And he was super heavy, super old, all rubbed off on the front from fighting, end up going 30. He was right on the money on score, 32 and a quarter.
That guy might know. How old was he? Or you might know.
He thinks he was 8. I mean,
is that old? Like,
that's an old ram.
That's old?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they get over 10, but like, that was an old ram.
I was just thinking, like, you know, if he's 8, like, okay, I think of it like deer, you know, like, if you got like a 3.5-year-old who's pushing like 150, and then like at 4.5, you know, he's going to fucking potentially put on a lot. Like, where do they start plateauing out at? Like, they hit a certain age, and instead of keep going up and score, they just kind of flatline.
So they'll never go down, they just get thicker.
Okay.
Like, he's like, they constantly grow, not as fast, they slow down, but they don't push length, they start pushing mass.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you can get a 32 inch ram that's 3 years old, but he's not going to be heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And So then, I'm trying to keep this on time. We get him packed up and everything, take pictures, and we're trying to keep him as we're quarter, or, you know, caping him out and quartering him. We're trying to keep him from sliding. It's how steep we're on. We're trying to keep him from sliding down the hill.
Oh, yeah.
Like falling off the hill, basically. Yeah. So anyways, we get back to camp.
Is it just the two of you?
Just the two of
us. Is this, can you both packed him out one trip? Okay. Cool.
And so we got him out and they're heavy. Like, just the skull and the cape, you know, it's a heavy, heavy
man. Oh, yeah.
So anyways, we get back to camp and we're kind of both kind of pooped. And so I'm just drinking water, kind of hanging out and everything. I did the cardinal sin of switching socks before a hunt because I wanted lighter weight socks instead of my normal medium weight.
Uh-huh.
And my feet were tore up. Like, I've never had issues with these boots before ever.
Uh-huh.
And my feet were blistering up just because I lighter different socks on. Mm-hmm. My feet didn't like the socks.
I'll notice that too with socks. Like, if you like take a pair of like brand new socks and you've never worn them, they like kind of slide around on your mm-hmm. feet and like slide in your boot, and it can get uncomfortable real quick. Like, it's really good to like honestly like pound the shit out of your socks before you go any kind of elevation hunt like that, because just something new, you know, it just, everything just feels like it's moving around, especially on like steep country like that. And mm-hmm. especially on like this like loose rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude, that'll tear you up pretty quick. So, up, down, doesn't matter.
So this is the funny part about the trip. So I told him, I said, hey, after I get my ram, I heard Audad's really good eating. It is very good eating. And I said, hey, I want to shoot a ewe for meat. He goes, yeah, no problem. He said, yeah, we'll get you a ewe. And so we get back to camp and he's like, hey,
this is day two.
Day two.
Yeah.
And so we're tagged at, this is probably 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, I'm gonna lay down. I'm not feeling great. I'm just gonna lay down. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Cool. You know, it was a little bit, we had a big breeze, so it was not as hot. So I sit there and just kind of sit back and, you know, enjoy. I mean, it's just stunning. The Chinati Mountains are absolutely stunning with how crazy they look.
And you've got the ram back at camp and everything.
Yep.
How do you handle the meat care out there with no shade, really? Like, so, probably use like your tents as shade and whatnot, and the breeze definitely helped. But I was just thinking, you know, like, there's nothing to fucking hang it on.
No, so we hung it off the rocks in game bags.
Okay.
And it's kind of like how they do it, like with desert sheep and everything, like the Indians been doing. Once it gets that crust on it,
mm-hmm.
it just crusts over. And then when I processed it, when I got back, I just cut that crust, this thin layer of crust off of it, and it's great meat.
Hmm.
So I'm sitting there talking to my Onyx, telling my dad and everything, you know, got a big ram down and everything. Well, I'm sitting there and I keep hearing rocks fall. I'm like, that's a sheep walking somewhere. And there's a canyon behind us where, when I say canyon, so from where I'm sitting by the Indian fireplace, by the big rock on the campsite, where I'm 50 yards from the tents. Tents are to my left, then to my right, it's a canyon. When I say canyon, it's a like 200-foot drop, straight vertical wall, where it looks like a river ran through there one day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there looking, it's like 100 yards across this canyon. Or no, it was 135. And so I'm sitting there looking. I'm like, I hear rocks falling. Like, something's going on. I have my rifle right next to me. I'm like, something's walking.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? It's like, something's going. And I keep hearing it, and I'm kind of dozing off. And so anyways, all of a sudden, I see these ewes. And at that time, I'd seen enough sheep. I could tell the difference between a ewe and whatever. Because ewes have some big, can get big horns on them.
Hmm.
Well, sitting there, and I could tell there's ewes, whatever. And this time, Steven comes out. He gets out and comes next to me. And I was like, hey, as he's walking up, he's kind of coming up the hill. And I said, hey, get down. They're right there. And I was like, and I was just kind of laughing. I didn't think anything of it. I said, hey, there's some ewes right there. And he goes, that's the easiest pack out we're going to get. That's 130 yards from camp. He goes, and I'll never forget this. He goes, pick out a small one. They'll eat better. And then he said, pick out the smaller ones of the ones up top, because there's a group of them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the ones on the bottom are going to fall all the way to the bottom, and we don't want to go get those out of there. He goes, pick the ones up on top, pick a small one out of there, and shoot it. It was like 130 yards. I'm like, sweet. So I get there, I get lined up, pick out a small one, boom, and it just drops.
Perfect.
He starts cracking up laughing. I kind of look at him like, what? And he said, I said, shoot a ewe, a small ewe, not a lamb. I was like, what? And I go, I don't know what it is. He said, pick out a small one. We get up there. It was the best tasting Audad you could have got. It was about a 35, 40-pound lamb laying there dead.
And best tasting one and the lightest one.
It was all
perfect.
He said, you know what? You talked about grinding up this for brats. I said, I cooked this whole. And so, and we were laughing. But yeah, so. That's
awesome, dude.
And he's like, you picked out a small one. I'll give you that.
That's awesome. Okay. So pack that out too.
Yep.
So was that was also day two. So that then day three, you're just what, shuffling meat back to.
We got it out one trip.
Okay.
But again, it only took us 15 minutes because he had hunters coming up the next week. So any leftover water we had, we left up there.
Nice.
Left the water bladders up there. Left food, like any extra peaks, because he brought peaks.
Sure.
So any extra peaks we stuffed in the couple storage containers he had.
Help out the next guy.
Yeah. And we left the tents up there. So coming out, all we had was the Audad and guns. Like it was really nice.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
No, dude, that sounds like a blast. You know, it's just like one of them hunts. It's like, it's different.
Yeah.
Like
100% different.
I don't know. You don't hear many guys like, you know, you hear, going on an elk hunt, going on a mule deer hunt, hog hunt, whatever it is, doesn't matter. But like an Audad hunt, West Texas, like that's pretty cool.
That was it was the most physically demanding, like that just that one day was probably the hardest I've worked hunting.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. One of these days I might take your word for it. I'd have to get to West Texas first. I don't know. Colorado kicks my ass just fine for now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly.
But no, dude, that's an awesome hunt, and stoked that you got a hell of a ram, mountain it, I'm yep. sure. And then a lamb. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was it was funny.
Awesome. And what did that run? One more time. I want to run down the basics. That was, if someone's looking to do that.
I believe it was 6,500.
65, okay. Yep. And that was a three-day trip.
Three-day trip.
Three-day hunt, I guess, yeah. probably a, what, five-day trip?
It was five, because it was...
One on the front end, one on the back.
Yeah, it was like a day and a half drive on the way... Day and a half on the front, day and a half on the back.
And definitely depends where you're coming from, but, yep. you know, for us, that's what it runs about. Okay.
Yep. And I made... It took me probably 2 days to get down there because I stopped and saw some customers
sure.
and stuff. Got to check out Big Ben for 2 hours.
There you go.
And I was like, I don't know when I'm going to be back down here.
Seeing the sights.
2 hours is not enough time to see Big Ben National Park, but it was really cool. And I got to see a couple cool things. So that was fun.
Cool. No, dude, that's awesome. Freaking stoked. I don't know. I got a few other bucket list items, but definitely is in... I don't know. It's on the list for sure.
Yep.
One of these days. One of these days.
For sure.
But no, dude, congratulations on the West Texas Audad hunt. Thanks, buddy. That's awesome.
Yep.
Anything else for that one?
That's pretty much it. I'm glad I'm practice shooting your rifle.
Yeah, I was going to. Okay, one more question about that. And yeah. is the bow hunt, is it the same allotted time or can you get more time if you pay more money? Like, how's that work?
You could probably get a couple more days
okay.
for bow hunts.
Yeah.
And because he told me he's like kind of where they bow hunt them.
Yeah.
Is like that canyon where I shot the lamb. He's like, in the fall, the big rams will come down there to look for the ewes.
Yeah.
So he's like, definitely for bow hunting, come in the fall.
Well, and you can also just say like what you were saying, like, dude, they had you pinned at, I don't know, I forgot.
200.
Yeah, however far you said, it's like, it's a different freaking game with a bow, man. And
it is.
That's a lot tougher hunt and not a very long hunt, you know.
No.
Even if you get it stretched out to 5 days hunting, that's still tough.
Yeah.
Even seeing, you know, that many rams, that many ewes, whatever, that's still tough.
Mm-hmm.
But no, definitely something for guys to think about. You know, it's like,
for sure.
You know, if that's your thing or if you want to give it a shot, like it's not over. It's not like crazy expensive. Like we were saying, it ain't 60 fucking grand yep. for
They call a it hunt. The poor man's sheep hunt.
That's for a right. reason. Exactly.
And it is really fun.
No, that's awesome. But okay, I think it does it for the West Texas Audad hunt. I didn't yep. even think, I thought we were going to get into some other stuff, but no, I kind of like how that went.
Sure.
But no, dude, thanks for jumping on here with me. And I think we'll let them go on this one.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to the Midwest Hines Hunt Podcast. We'll catch you on the next one.
Dude, he's a toad. Holy smokes, dude. This is the anthem for people who love hunting. Tell them before it was cold, don't mean to be rude. But this is for people who really love hunting and don't gotta show it.
Welcome back to the Midwest Hines Hunt Podcast. I am your host, Braden Tolles. Thanks for tuning in. I can't believe I'm living my dream. Early morning flights, the skies are filled up with these whistling wings. Sights that dreams are made of. Look at God's creation. Dust coming in as we struggle to load. Kid number two is a hell of a load. Shots going off like they dropping the hole. It's so cold and my car keeps ticking. I'm being precise with the notes I'm picking. My lead is true, so no duck, I'm missing. Full choke, so I'm good at